Today on our Tech for Business podcast, Jason, our VCIO, and Sarah, our customer relationship manager, dive into the intricacies of selecting the perfect hardware to power your design workflows.
Why, hello, Sarah. Here we are again. It's weird that we both wore the exact same clothes for the second podcast. It's not like we're doing this on the same morning we did the last one, I swear. We aren't like high budget enough to have a wardrobe and hair and makeup because fully, you know, whatever. Right. All right. So next topic of the morning. And this is, I'm going to try and be out of being technical about this, but it comes up so much. I thought it might be interesting to have a conversation about sort of the physical requirements, not the technical characteristics. We're avoiding that. The physical characteristics of laptops and the hardware that designers use to do their jobs. Right. And the reason I think it's important is when it comes up, this can be a very, very intense conversation between IT providers and interior designers. And it is often driven by a combination of personal preference, frequency of travel. And of course, there is a level of technical requirement to this as well. But again, we're going to avoid talking about gigahertz, megabytes, and dork things today. So Sarah, you were an independent rep as well as a designer. And so the function of your job, if I understand it correctly, was actually to be in dealerships as a rep talking about furniture and product and services like that. So your job was very, not just customer facing, you were in customer spaces.
Yes, I was in dealerships. I was in customer spaces. Yep. A lot of times the customers were at the dealership space and we all met together.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking me, yes.
It is, yeah. Well, and so, and I guess I'm looking at this as almost a design problem to solve. So with laptops, you sort of have these three circles that converge, right, in the middle. And it's sort of like you've got the value or the cost circle, and then you've got the ergonomics circle, and then you've got the performance circle.
Correct.
and you kind of have to balance, you know, how do you weigh each of those characteristics? By the way, probably the single most controversial characteristic of any laptop specification that I've had with designers or any of the user is the presence or lack of a 10 key on the keyboard.
Isn't that interesting? I don't think I have a feeling about it.
Yeah.
I didn't have a feeling about it.
No, and I actually do understand why. I'm someone who actually uses the 10 key. I was a classically trained touch typist. And so, I will type 140 words a minute, which is a, you know, a little bit above average, but my mother made me as a middle schooler, which was a long time ago, on the old clunky IBM chonka keyboards, learn how to type, touch type, where they actually removed all the keycaps so you couldn't see the letters and you had to still be able to type back. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is it comes up a lot and it very, very much limits the configurations that IT people can pick from when we're going to specify the other stuff you need, right? So I already have a list of technical requirements that Configura and Autodesk and my brain is not working this morning, Cap 2020, all visual impressions, you know, whatever it is, all the tools you have. That's aside. But now I have to go say, okay, what physical characteristics are we talking about? What size screen do you want?
Right.
And portability was the single greatest driver of many of the ergonomic choices that I made when I helped specify laptops for designers before COVID. Now, I'm interested in this is maybe if we had an audience talk back feature. The thing is, I think work styles have changed for designers as well as, you know, we had to learn how to use tools like Microsoft Teams or Zoom or you know, even more purposeful tools around design collaboration. And that may have changed the need to physically go on site to meet with the client. One characteristic I would say that I found is consistently about laptops is modern laptops, modern computer processors are designed to run as fast as they can until they get too hot. And then they do something called throttling. And what that translates into is the smaller and lighter your laptop, the less power it can have because it will start to overheat and actually get slower. So small and light laptops used to, I mean, ergonomically, it's great. If you travel a lot, I would argue, you know, someone like Alexander Sefos, who's traveling all the time, probably needs a small light laptop because going through airline security with a big laptop is a pain. But if you're designing all the time from a desk location, primarily, you're not going to customer sites as much, I would probably argue in favor of a thicker laptop with greater cooling and power capacity. So while you're using it, it's always fast. Because I know one of the things you and I talked about, Sarah, was your expectation of the laptop is it's got to be faster than I am, or I don't want to feel like it's holding me back.
Right.
And that does get, again, to the technical specs, but it also gets to some level of its physical characteristics when you pick it up. And I realize nobody loves the big, chunky laptops. I recall the first design laptop I ever specified for the purpose of running this tool weighed 12 pounds for running CT Designer or Visual Impressions. They weighed 12 pounds. And designers at the time were like, hey, I can use this tool. First of all, I'm getting a laptop. Most of them had desktop machines. Now I'm getting an actual laptop.
That was exciting.
You know, they were showing up and like, I would always notice they always had kind of like, they were leaning to one side and like one shoulder was lower. I'm like, you know, maybe, we really solve ergonomic workspace issues with our products in the dealer world. Maybe I could try and look at this.
Isn't that the irony of it?
And that's when I first learned my lesson about, we went to a really lightweight laptop that a company called MSI manufactured, and it was beautiful. It was all like brushed aluminum and this and that. And the interesting thing was that original design actually worked pretty well for a small, what would now be considered a normal size laptop, a little thick, but at the time it was like 3 or 4 pounds lighter. And it had a like a 15-inch screen. And this was when the screen had these really thick bezels around the outside edges. So it was like you had a screen, but you had a bunch of plastic around it. And it's, again, watching hardware has evolved so that the screen has this tiny little bezel. So what is now a 17-inch laptop has a physically narrower chassis than it used to have. And what I'm getting at, why this relates to, is that 10 keypad, that pesky 10 keypad, you've now got a narrower width that is the base of the laptop. In order to fit an entire 10 keypad plus normal size keys, you have two choices. You can either omit the 10 keypad and keep the keys on the keyboard a standard size, or you have to shrink all the keys on the keyboard, or make, like, you start compressing them closer and closer together so that if you've learned to type on a normal keyboard and you switch over to a laptop, your hands are in the wrong spots, right? Because you're not used to typing that way.
Sure.
And so it, again, it's almost becoming a rarity to find a design class laptop that's 16 inches or smaller that has a 10 key on it that is truly functional, because the hack is to make the keys smaller. And when keys get smaller, I mean, I don't have huge like sausage fingers, but I find those very hard to type on. So it's just, again, it's a fascinating, to me, it's a fascinating conversation because there are so many, it's like specifying a chair, you wouldn't, there's 8 million combinations of parts to make a steel case leap chair, for example, which actually is probably more than that, but there are, and it's, you know, getting all those things right, it leads to a user assistant that says, yeah, this fits, is comfortable, or no, this chair doesn't work for me, I don't like it.
So Jason, what have you done about this problem?
I don't do anything. I just, you know, I don't like to sell laptops. No, I'm kidding.
How are we solving this problem for people?
I like the way you teed that up. No, we've actually worked with HP. So, you know, full disclosure, HP is a partner of CIT / well, I won't say the new brand name yet, but something exciting is coming soon. Anyway, I just scooped it. We're working with HP because we have found that there are some sweet spots for, again, a balance of configuration, size, weight, cost, all those things, and buying laptops that have that. So the HP ZBook Fury is the one we're landing on right now. And it is a little thick, but it's thick because that allows for cooling and power capacity that lets it run at speed. Because when we've tested a bunch of different laptops with designers, we found that was really the best balance of ergonomics and performance and a reasonable price when it comes down to selling this to somebody so they can use it. But,
well, yeah, and the exciting thing about that is that HP, you know, HP Corporate is working with us, you know, CIT in Woodbury, Minnesota, to build these laptops that we think are really important for designers to have. Yeah. They're building us a special product SKU.
Yeah.
And designers will relate to this because we do it all the time with the manufacturers. You know, you need a special, so you work with the factory, you get a special number, and you get, I mean, it's just, it's so great because the industry now, you know, and a shameless plug, but I'm new to CIT, but the fact that you are out there fighting for designers and what works well for them is really cool. You know, and that we're getting our partners to also fight for designers and what's right and what they need and to make it easy. So
from my perspective,
on this side of things, not an IT person, you know, by training, it's pretty exciting.
No, I appreciate you saying that. I think it's also, you know, a real passion about this need that I, as a technologist, have a certain, like, I've been an advocate for a long time, and I love that you and other members of our team who are coming on board are so passionate about the same things, and you bring different skills and different perspectives, and it just, it makes it so much better for us. And when we have this conversation about laptops, One of the things we found, and this came from somebody else in our organization, who you'll, if you're coming to CETX, you'll meet them. His name is Derek. And Derek and I we both grew up playing video games on computers, which made us absolute dorks back in the 80s and 90s, and now we rule the world, so it's great. Anyway, Derek was talking about a technology that allowed video game streaming, modern video game streaming. And he thought, well, he'd been working with designers deploying CET Designer, and said, well, why do we get caught up in the laptop they're running? What if we could set up these virtual gaming style machines with CET Designer? And I said, well, that's been tried and it didn't work that well. And in classic reverse Uno reverse on Jason, Derek said, well, I don't know, I think I could do it, but I can do it right where you did it. Basically did it right. And he proved it. He did it. So he produced a prototype, which we're not selling today, but we're experimenting with, because it is possible to set up a virtual design computer that you can run from another computer, which then means that whatever you're connecting to it from, it doesn't have to be all that fast. Like the virtual computer running on has all the specs you need. So now it opens the possibility of things like, I could run CET Designer on a Mac, because you're not running it on the Mac, you're running it on our virtual computer, or a crappy, or my laptop just crashed. I have this backup computer I pulled out of the back room. Can I still get in and be productive as a designer? And so that kind of thinking is what I'm super excited about, is that we've got a team of people who are thinking like that, and that these solutions, which we have a design, I'm not going to say who it is, but we have a designer testing this and is actually using it to work through some of the stuff to get ready for CETX and some rendering work. And so we're really pushing these concepts to the limit, because we want to give even greater freedom of choice to designers and to IT people who don't want to go through the hundreds of hours of research it takes to find a laptop, only to find after they've done the research, oh, that model's not available anymore. So you have to go back to the drawing board. So we're working on building supply chain partnerships with people like HP to say, hey, if you want a laptop, we're going to get a SKU built that you can order. If you don't buy it from us, you can order and get what you need. Because the industry needs these solutions to run the software. I'd love you to work with us, of course, because we offer a whole lot more than just laptops. But, you know, that's the thing. But also, how do we get beyond the hardware as the biggest kind of point of focus? What if you wanted to have a way to test versions of CET Designer in your dealership before you put it on your laptop and risk breaking your production environment? That could be useful, right? So, again, thinking about how do we help avoid causing designers to have discomfort or downtime with their technology platforms. And if they are buying a laptop, how do we think about balancing all these different characteristics? And again, I think we got to land this plane, as it were, in full microism on his podcast. But I want to have a quick chat about this, because Sarah, I think, again, you have experience in the field. I've talked to a lot of designers about what they need. And in the last couple of years, certainly the style of work that designers themselves are practicing has led to, you know, people like me having to think differently about how we deploy and select hardware for you. And it's absolutely a back and forth partnership. Hey, here's some models I think are the right size or the right look. What do you think?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was a good topic. Good. I liked that.
Hopefully those out there in the ether who are listening to our conversations will appreciate that, or at least find it somewhat valuable. So thanks for listening if you tuned in. And again, we're going to be in person at CETX in Grand Rapids. I'm going to ask our marketing team to put a stinger in the bottom of the description of this video that includes a link to a discount code if you haven't registered yet to get $75 off your admission. Otherwise, feel free to reach out to us via email or contact information below. Sarah and I will hopefully talk to you again soon. Sarah, have a lovely weekend.
You too.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@CIT-net.com or head out to our website, CIT-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.